The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't sing for shit. Welcome once again to another round of the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the freaking awesome network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, where is everybody? Good Lord, how hard is it to get three people to show up? At least you're here, Jason. You're usually here.
I'm usually here because I have to record, but I hate when you're right, Nikki. You were so right in what happened this, you know, with one particular angle that really is life imitating art, which we will get to.
Indeed. And speaking of somebody who apparently is either being karma hammered or is just... maybe it's just his turn to have so for somebody to say, I'm afraid I've got some bad news, Beeman.
If today would kindly fuck off, that'd be nice.
Jeez. That good, huh?
I went from being sixth in poker last night, which is the highest I've ever been in poker at a table, to not having my car for the second time in a row, not having the right fucking part, and then having no one to give me a free lift home, so I had to spend $15 on a fucking taxi. Fuck you.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right, we need to calm him down. So, Nikki, what are we talking about this week?
Well, this first part's probably not going to help.
No.
But we do... but but it happened, and we have to talk about it, and that is No Mercy. 2/3 of this show was very, very good. You have to admit that 2/3 of this show was very good. Unfortunately, the order of what was good and what was not is problematic.
I liked it. We saw the debut of Mick Foley Jr., so aka Cesaro, with his getting his front teeth knocked out. But anyway,
oh my god! No, actually, it's worse than that, man. During what was going on as an excellent tag match, Dean Ambrose and Cesaro decided to do the one wrestling move, not because of what happened, the one wrestling move in the entire business that I absolutely positively hate, because it is probably the most staged thing you can ever do, and that is a catapult. Cesaro and Dean did it quite well. It was actually pretty well executed. Unfortunately, Cesaro stuck the landing by covering his forehead but not covering his mouth and jamming his eye teeth back into his head.
4 millimeters upward.
Yeah. And that don't sound like much outside of your mouth, but look inside your mouth for a minute and stack 4 dimes.
Ow.
Ow.
And the tough bastard finished the match.
No, it got him, it did throw him a little loopy. He did stop and say, ow, wow, what was that?
And then the ref immediately put the gloves on. Sorry, I just noticed. respect. The gloves went on like that because his blood was pouring out of his mouth. Ugh.
Right. Now, we didn't see, you know, we didn't see initially what had happened. And as the match went on, you know, about a minute after that, Cesaro took a kick, took a kick in the head. And a lesser observant person thought Seth Rollins broke his nose. And they finally came back around to what really happened. And yeah, at first I thought he'd cracked some teeth, but we found out later he had them jammed back up in his head. Despite that, despite this, it wasn't a losing effort. However, Cesaro was in good spirits about it and had tweeted several pictures, including paging Dr. Isaac Yankum.
Doofus.
And we can all hear Kane. If I wasn't already in the process of running for office and wasn't worried about my prior reputation and career, I would be happy to come by there and tell you to please never tweet that again.
Yes, he would. But even before that, okay, we start with Ms. Jordan for the with the IC title, and Shane, Jordan gets booed out of LA and even gets booed for losing.
Which I don't get.
Sorry, I had the mic muted. I couldn't believe it. Like, I understand guys hate the Kurt Angle Jr. storyline. I get it. But this guy is, as Roman Reigns said, a thoroughbred. He's good in the ring, and he has some charisma in the ring. So I don't understand why he got booed out of the building. He was very good in this match, but yep, oh well.
He was excellent in this match, and what I hear outside of the ring, I hear online, is that Jordan's charisma is in his wrestling. Once he gets in there and he gets going, that usually brings the crowd back around. So I'm not sure what's up, but it was a very good match. Miz, you know, Jordan was not carrying Miz in the wrestling department, and Miz was not carrying Jordan in the charisma department. So, solid stuff. So, a wonderful opener. You knew the Miz Taraj was going to be out there. Thank you, Kurt, for being a good father, in the sense that you knew your son would be very angry if you came out and did anything right that second. So, you know, great start.
Then we move over to the man versus man match, which was Finn Balor in, by the way, babyface trunks for the first time ever, I think.
Yeah. The gray for that gray area.
I thought it was like blue, but yes, it was gray. Yes, the gray area of man versus demon. Okay. And Wyatt took out Balor for most of the match, and Balor played the babyface in peril for most of the match.
But Balor did Wyatt a favor. Even though Wyatt lost, I should be angry. I'm not. I'm only angry because I picked Wyatt.
Okay.
Shane, did Wyatt still came out of this looking pretty good, even if he did lose this match?
Yeah, Wyatt still came out good in this match. Like, I think people are just pissed due to the fact that he's had more pay-per-view losses than wins, and the feeling is that it's really killing him. So, I've even heard some people say that the only way to save Wyatt right now is to turn him into a babyface. But that's it. That's number threes for you.
No, we're not turning Wyatt anytime soon. We just need to get a few more wins under his belt, and he needs to be feuding with somebody else. And Balor has got to finally step up and say, hey, first Universal Champion here. We'll get to that. He should be pointing at the main event, but we have a few matches in between that.
He actually did on Monday night, I believe. He said, the thing that I'm going to be going after is the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck with that, as I say.
Good luck with that for the moment. And if you do that, can you bring Wyatt with you? Because at this point, I want to, give me a surprise Elimination Chamber match for this title. Because I dare the current champion to go into one. Go on.
Yeah. We get a debut date for Asuka, which is going to be at next month's TLC.
I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there.
I know you will, you lucky so-and-so. Okay.
No, I can't say it on the air.
Yeah, okay, fine. But then we get the fatal five-way for the title with Bliss, Nia, Bayley, Sasha, and Emma. This was fun.
This was a fun match. This was a very solid match. This was a very tight match. I didn't see any issues. Right, person won again. I picked Alexa. So now that we can either concentrate on Alexa Nia, we can find out, we're with Bayley and Sasha, we're in somebody turn already mode. And Emma, for all of your posturing and hashtagging, Shane pointed out that, yes, you did have a hand in the women's revolution. But we also have this chick named Mickie James who was actually wrestling. Yeah, she had a pretty bizarre stalker angle with Trish Stratus in 06. But come on.
But Nia was great. That double Samoan drop spot was great.
She picked up those two and squatted with them.
Yes!
She squatted with them before Samoa dropping them. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, okay, new respect for Nia. And then she gained my respect even further by taking that sick double power bomb outside the ring. I'm like, oh, ouch.
And she landed kind of funny. So we were a little worried about her if she'd done something to the shoulder that she landed on, or worse, her neck, because of the way she rolled.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad she's okay. This match was very solid. I didn't see any, if anybody did anything incorrectly, I'm going to give it a pass because this was a killer match. So ladies, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, it was great. So let's end the pay-per-view here, right? Can we?
I wish.
Can we, please? Nikki, can we go? No, we can't, can we?
We have to continue. Although, and I agree, from longtime online onslaught writer, Rick Skaya, you shouldn't judge a pay-per-view on the last 5 minutes, but that's hard to do, especially when things get a little screwy from here. Okay, you advertise a WrestleMania caliber match. I agree with this. With the two most polarizing guys in the company. I agree with this. But Roman, you are both fucking better than that. That match was a Raw match. That match did not feel like a Passing of the Torch match, did not feel like a pay-per-view match, did not feel anything like a WrestleMania match unless you were putting it on the pre-show. Cena did some pretty spectacular stuff.
Top rope AAA, double AA.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, keep going.
Super AA. He kicked out of a Reigns kicked out of a bunch of shit. Okay.
Which I had no issue with.
Okay. Then Reigns wins with the Superman punch and spear. Fine. Okay. But
yeah, but that was, come on, that was some, one of the, that was the weakest ass spear outside of the Big Show.
Yes. Okay. But I have a shit ton of problems with a couple of things, if I may. Okay. First of all, Cena was cheered. Okay, fine. Roman was booed. Okay, fine. Then we get a "you both suck" chant. Okay, fine. Will you make up your fucking minds? Really?
Well, it was. It's one of those things. The whole deal was, you know, this is a match that I wanted to see. We could have waited till WrestleMania. This is a match.
Yeah, huh? I'm with you. Should have been.
This is a match that this particular crowd did not want to see at all. And at the end of the match, and I know this will continue to put what few hairs you have tied in a knot. Actually this pissed me off too. First of all, Roman won on two very weak versions of what are supposed to be his most powerful moves. A spear off the ropes halfway across the ring. You have a step and a half to get a spear off. No, you needed to, the spear should have been three times off the ropes. And Cena's shoes should have been in the third row.
Especially after what he said to him.
For after all of the verbal abuse, Roman should have been throwing Cena through shit. Roman should have smashed him with a table. Roman should have been pounding him with chairs. Roman should have thrown him out of the ring more than once just so he could get a drive-by and a barricade-smashing, you know, mid-match spear. This was one of the most polite grudge matches I have ever seen.
And then we get to the end. And post-match stuff.
Okay. The post-match is where I got mad.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled my eyes at the weak finish. I was like, okay, I'm just happy that Roman won. Then we have this whole fake ass, you know, maybe it is my time to go shit with Cena. Shane, indulge me.
Bullshit!
Thank you. I believe that one just as much as the Triple H one, that the one that Hunter tried to pull a couple of years ago. You know, God bless Hunter. He at least was able to put a tear in his eye. But Cena...
You're so full of shit. You are full of shit, okay? Because, first of all, number one, let's even get to where, you know, Raw talk afterwards, okay?
The reason they keep this one on the they had to keep this one on the network is because verbal fellatio at this level is not allowed on public TV. Is it? Oh wait, we do show political events.
Yes. Because he was blowing Roman like he was Monica Lewinsky, you know, it's like, I dressed him down for 4 months to bring out the best in him, and now I did, so now I respect him. Fuck you!
We all bitched, and Shane, I know you did too. We all bitched that if this was going to happen, the fuck, you know.
Sorry, I've got a play call again. what am I bitching about?
Cena, after all the verbal immolation he did this to Reigns leading up to this match, going through that particular match, and then going on to Raw Talk, and, you know, essentially, you know, worshiping at the throne of Roman.
This just solidified Cena as the new fucking Rock for me. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, okay, dude, so you're going to bring up the man's, like, positive drug test and shit like that, and then you're going to go to sucking his ass on friggin' Raw Talk after he beats you and say,
Roman proved it to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, he is the man. He is the man. It's like, okay, dude, why don't you just admit it? Vince is not Vince. I'm not Vince's favorite anymore. It's Roman. It's Roman.
Yeah.
I would have taken Cena being a bit more heelish and edgy, going, no, man, this is bullshit. We all know the real reason why Roman won. He's not better than me. And then to go from that to kissing Roman's ass to having Jerry try and get Cena some sympathy and going, yeah, I had a girl come up to me before and say, is he done? Is that it? And then Cena putting on his Academy Award-winning performance of saying, well, look, no, I'm not saying that I'm done, but I'm 40 years old. And I'm getting to that point now where I know I'm not really hanging with the guys anymore. And yeah, it might be coming sooner rather than later. I'm like, bullshit.
And Dwayne's going, yeah, okay.
Now, Dwayne's like, stop stealing my shit, man.
There you go. That's it. Nikki had the line of the night. Stop stealing my shit. Yes.
Even Ric Flair, like, in his condition, would have been looking at that TV if he was watching Raw Talk and going, you fucking liar. Like, You'll retire after you break my 16. That's when
you're
retire.
Not leaving until you win it one more time, and I hope I'm here when you do that.
Yeah, oh, by the way, big ups to Rick, man. He's doing some interviews, and it looks like he really had a come to Jesus meeting you've seen some of the interviews.
And something that was I would say 10 years too late, but he's still here. So
yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and the fact is, you know, he's promoting the book, which he says some things which I don't believe, but okay. You know.
What, you don't believe this man slept with 10,000 women?
Okay. I would say that's just a little bit of an exaggeration. I'm saying...
Not by much.
I didn't say by much, man. I mean,
let's put him with the measuring stick with the late, great Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sure Rick has found a way to spend a couple of weekends in the mansion. I'm sure he got a quarter of that 10,000 that night.
Yeah. put it together. That's a new way of rehab, man. You know? Woo! No, but seriously, he says he's stopping drinking. I believe him. This time I believe him.
He's got to.
He even have a liver left?
Exactly. Like, with the liver or kidney damage that he got during this whole out thing, he can't afford to drink anymore.
Yeah, he was really at death's door. So, I really good stuff. But yeah, Ric Flair's going bullshit. Dwayne Johnson's going bullshit. CM Punk is laughing his ass off.
CM Punk is laughing. Rock's like, stop stealing my shit. And Ric Flair's like, you know, I understand you're trying to work, son, but that's not working.
No, that's not working. No.
But I'll tell you what CM Punk would have laughed at more, and other people that have unfortunately had a come to Jesus moment. The cruiserweight division. The cruiserweight division has had a come to Jesus moment where they're like, what the fuck?
Okay.
But you want to know
initial
something?
Initial reactions, everybody, come on. Everybody here I know was furious.
Oh, I was, yeah. I admit it. I admit it. I was pissed off because.
Knee jerk reaction. I was mad too. Enzo just defeated the king of the cruiserweights with a kick to the nuts.
Yes, a kick to the nuts and a schoolboy. And excuse me, let me say it right. The king of the cruiserweights, okay?
Your Majesty, that's not how the kingdom falls.
No, but then we get why it was done, and boy, is it awesome.
Oh, no, no, no. We got one more match to talk about. I'm sorry. We have to talk about it.
Oh, you're not. You're not gonna play into it then. Oh, okay. All right.
Or
gotcha.
I could play into it now, but I just, you know, do you want the bad news first? Or do you want the good news? You want the good news with the cruiserweight division? Or want the bad news with the main event?
Bad news with the main event. You're right. Yep.
Okay.
Let's get rid of this and see who won.
So, Lesnar, Strowman. I was actually more excited about this than I was for Cena Reigns.
Same here.
And that's saying something as an unabashed, unashamed, unapologetic Roman Reigns fan. What I got was a longer match than I expected. What I got was Braun Strowman being able to stand up to Lesnar. But for some reason, a monster who has been murdering people left and right has actually been at the show 300 days a year, is everybody's favorite lovable, monster among men.
Is your most over commodity in WWE right now.
Loses to one F5. One. Excuse me, Shane. Go ahead.
No, well, I'll let you say my line, but after this, oh man, I'm going to go on a tangent about this match.
Bullshit!
Bullshit!
Okay.
Shane, the floor is yours.
Here's why it's bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. Because, so let me get this straight. We've had Braun Strowman, who has put Lesnar down for longer than fucking three with one power slam. And yet he nails four power slams on this guy, gets locked in a Kimura lock, by the way, he touched the ropes, and any fucking rookie referee knows as soon as someone touches the ropes, you got to break the goddamn hold. This referee didn't do shit. He's like, okay, you got to let go of the hold now. Oh, wait, he's still got it on. Okay, fuck it, we'll just let you go. And Strowman should have won by DQ.
Although, in the referee's defense, you try to tell Brock Lesnar to do anything.
And then all of a sudden, now we have Brock Smash freaking coming back with German suplexes and shit, and then hits a surprise F5, and puts down Braun fucking Strowman. Really? I'm like, so let me get this straight. Brock Lesnar can kick out of four power slams that have kept him down week after week. But one F5 from Brock Lesnar. When did Brock Lesnar, mind you? Did you see the sweat that was coming off this guy? Jesus Christ.
Yep. Dude, he was blown up a minute into the match.
One F5, and that puts away your monster among men. Okay. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
This actually blew up the internet, blew up our board, and I had never seen so much rage quit in my life.
Because here's the situation. You book Samoa Joe as the monster, right?
Mm-hmm.
What pay-per-view did he fight him one-on-one?
Great Balls of Fire.
Okay. And he's this close to beating him.
Mm-hmm.
One F5, goodbye. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you book him against Roman Reigns, Strowman, and Joe. Strowman myrtleizes him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, one F5 goodbye on Reigns, I believe. Right? I believe he picked Reigns.
I forget. I know he didn't pick. I know he didn't pin Joe.
Right. Then he myrtleizes Strowman. Really? Okay. Really? Mm-hmm.
If that's Uncle Paul, tell him I'm in the middle of the show.
No, it's for my dad. You see Mr. Block. Yeah. You know, all I'm saying to you is that Lesnar must have went into Triple H's office and gotten the golden shovel. Or I actually went into John Cena's locker room and gotten it from him, too. You know, I mean, seriously, what the fuck? Am I wrong?
I just think that the, you know, the Lesnar's aura as the final boss has worn off in recent months because we need a new champion. And I don't think we can wait till WrestleMania, which I think is the actual plan, that they want to go all the way to WrestleMania before they put Lesnar and Reigns in the ring together. And we can't wait that long.
No, we can't.
And as you know, I'm a very patient person when it comes to storyline. But even I am sick. You know, I had the same protest when we did this before. A part-time champion is no champion. I want my Universal title on television. I don't care if they talk about it for 3 weeks and then fight at the pay-per-view. I don't care if we get a non-title match leading up to the pay-per-view. I just want the Universal title on my fucking television. Now.
And here's the thing, right? We all know why this has been done. And this is pathetic. So you want us to wait till March or April, whichever it is, for WrestleMania to see Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again and see Roman pin Lesnar to become Universal Champion?
No, that plan's going to change.
No, it's not. This thing with Brock versus Braun just cemented it, improved it, especially with Roman beating Cena. It solidifies it. That's Vince's plan. That has always been Vince's end game because he wants Roman to get over. And it's like, dude, you really want Roman to get over? You should have given the fucking title to Strowman at No Mercy. Had Strowman hold the damn thing until WrestleMania to make him look like a strong, powerful champion and then continue his feud with Roman Reigns. I'm not finished with you yet. Good, I'm not finished with you. Because at least that way then we could have had an entertaining storyline instead of seeing Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, who can't talk for shit.
And Uncle Paul, who is not getting any new material to work with, which is why I really wanted him to turn and, you know, help Strowman win the title, have Lesnar go away because he doesn't want to be there anyways, give it to this monster who admittedly can talk, who is admittedly a decent talker in his own right. But you can see how much fun Uncle Paul has when even his client can talk. So, anyway, dust settles, and we have the scores.
I know I did pretty well. I don't know how well I did, though. We'll find out.
Well, we'll find out in a second, but it's pretty across the board. Tyler is at the very, very bottom at 2. I didn't do much better. Neither did VRM. We're tied at 3. Shane, you and 4th are tied at 4.
That's all right.
And unfortunately, I have some bad news. Cindy's flush actually helped her, and she's at 4.5.
Moving along.
Chris was at 5. And then Jason, you tied with Stat Boy.
At 6?
at six, but you didn't win.
Oh man, I thought I had it. Okay, wow.
So, the winner, our new Fizzleweight champion, is somebody who has never been on the freaking show. Ladies and gentlemen, our Fizzleweight title belt has been stolen by Mikey.
Oh, crap! What? That bastard!
Mikey stole the belt!
He's taking it to TNA! No, wait, I'm sorry.
No, what he'll do, he will take it to TNA Mecca and wave it in all the zombies' faces, because that's his hobby.
Yes, exactly.
So, Mikey, damn you!
Nice.
7 points. Seven points. Good on you, Mikey. Congratulations. I'll let you know when I run into you online tonight.
Cool. Okay. But now we have to get the story of Enzo Amore, because that was pretty much Monday, and boy, was it fun.
Okay, so we get to Monday night, and all the fans are still grumbling over the fact that Enzo Amore is a freaking cruiserweight champion, and Neville should be murdering him, and very well so. In fact, Kurt Angle was about ready to murder him, because Enzo kept pestering him all night about, hey, you know, we need to have this great big celebration. I'm a cruiserweight champion, you know. A real G's holding this belt. We need to. This is a special occasion. And Kurt, so easily flustered as he is, he says, "Fine, whatever. Do what you need to do." Oh yeah, Kurt, I need a little piece of paper that says that they can't touch me. Fine. Now, to Enzo's credit, and a good heel has to be right sometimes to make it work. That little rat dog got the cruiserweights in the main event of Raw.
Yeah, he did.
So he comes out happy to brag that, yes, look at me. I'm cruiserweight champion. And this is something to celebrate. We're going to retire my jersey. Heck, I'm going to retire with this belt. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can beat me. Nobody can do this. And then the 205 theme plays, which he doesn't recognize. Then again, he's been on the show of all, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. A cup of coffee?
Yeah.
A cup of coffee. Right.
Yeah, and so out walks 99% of the cruiserweight division, faces and heels. Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali are out there not killing each other. Brian Kendrick is not out there being jumped by anybody, nor is he jumping anybody. And look at what we got over here. A cup of haters. A whole lot of haters.
Yeah.
And he pretty much drops the bomb on him. Look what I did for your division. To which the king of the cruiserweights, has a rebuttal. Because despite the way Neville demeaned people as champion, he backed it up. The evil king is a lawful evil king.
Ah, little D&D action there.
Because we have a chaotic neutral gnome who has stolen the crown.
Actually, he's now more chaotic evil, but that's beside the point. But okay.
Yeah, he's leaning towards chaotic evil, but right now he's chaotic neutral because you got the good guys and the bad guys hate his ass.
Yep.
So Neville simply states, for everything you did last night, no matter what it's done for us, you have demeaned them, you have made a joke of the show, you have made a joke of that title, and when you kicked me where the sun don't shine, you made a joke out of me. For that, Enzo Amore a royal proclamation, if you're going to use power word full name, I am here to end you.
And a literal mic drop.
And Neville, hey Enzo, Adrian Neville has had enough of your shit.
Oh, did he? And he's like, I got this paper. I got this paper. He's like,
I don't need a paper. In fact, eat your paper.
Yes. Kicks your paper, red arrow, show goes off the air. However,
they just the live audience got a house show bonus, and thank you WWE for making this canon. Normally, what happens after this is something that those of us watching at home don't get to see. But as somebody who's attended a couple hundred house shows, I already knew where this was going. Bronze music hits.
Cruiserweights part like the fucking Red Sea.
Neville's not as nervous because he knows that Braun's not out there for him. Because even Braun Strowman has had enough of your shit, Enzo. And that, you know, that order of not touching him, don't worry. He only needed to touch you once. How'd that feel?
Bam! Running power slam.
How you doing, Enzo?
Right.
And then Braun, which of course we don't know if he's face or heel either. He's like, all right, you guys want him? Here you go.
And he ripped his shirt off, by the way, too, not for nothing.
And that man don't need to wear a shirt. He may not be as defined as Tony Nese, but damn, that man don't need to wear no shirt.
Mm. So then, Shane, what do you think happened next?
I saw what happened next. Cruiserweight smash. Jesus, these guys used Enzo like a verbal punch, like an actual punching bag. I mean, each person got a shot in. The scoundrel Jack Gallagher headbutted Enzo, nearly caved his chest in. And then I do believe it was Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali is setting up for his imploder 450, but Drew Gulak stopped him and said, no, 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 I can't allow this. No fly zone. Not happening.
And to which TJ and a bunch of the other guys are like, come on, man. Do you realize who he's doing this to? Do you realize how badly he needs to get squished?
They're like, come on, just one. Just one.
Just one.
And then Drew thinks about it, and he's like, okay, just one. Let's go.
Which got a pop.
Everyone loses their shit, and Mustafa comes down 450 imploder, and Enzo's dead. That's it.
And we had a bunch of other nonsense. We got two airplane spins. We got Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado kicked his head off,
and Enzo sold it like gold. By the way,
like he sold this whole thing like it was a murder.
Oh, after the two airplane spins and that knee from
Tony Nese.
Yeah, from Tony Nese. If you looked in Enzo's eyes, I thought he was dead because he sold it that well. He's like just looking there. He's not blinking. It doesn't look like there was no life in his eyes. He's just like, hello. Lights are on, but no one's home.
Yeah. Tell my mother I love her.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. So,
by the way, as of early today's recording date, which is this September 28th, this video has almost 3 million views
on YouTube. For real? Wow.
Yes. That's how much this is entertaining. This is something that, you know, like I said, this is something that usually happens at house shows where a heel gets trapped by a bunch of the faces at the end of the show and everybody hits their finishers on them. Dolph's had this done to him a couple of times. Punk's had this done to him a couple of times. Miz has had this done to him. You know, and you know, you can look these up. These are hilarious. And they're in the same vein as what the entire cruiserweight division did to Enzo. And, you know, I used to say this a lot during, you know, irritating Michael Cole. I wanted him to take a locker room full of finishers, you know, for every day for a year. And and seeing a heel at this level of this magnitude, to the point that even the other heels hate your ass. That's special. That's magic. And what that happened there was magic.
Yes, it was definite magic.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think he got really solidified as the heel until 205 Live. Because 205 Live is where he came out and did the whole shtick about how, well, it looks like I'm going to retire. Looks like I'm going to retire with this belt because all of them touched me. And I had this piece of paper that said anyone that touches me doesn't get a title shot. So, bam.
Oh, I can't wait till Monday to when Kurt finds the workaround.
Yeah, and I think I might know what the workaround is if they're not giving it straight to Neville. Because we've all heard the rumors and the rumblings.
Well, I haven't, but go ahead.
Okay.
Neville might be walking away from the cruiserweight division, and they might actually let him on the show.
Yeah, well, that's one. But the other one about who's going to replace Neville is that WWE has apparently this might be news with a capital Z, but they've apparently signed Ricochet.
I haven't heard that.
I'll wait on that one.
Take it with a grain of salt, but even Dave Meltzer's bloody reported on it. So,
No, I'm looking at it. Ricochet WWE. I haven't seen anything. Okay.
I mean, if Ricochet got signed, I think actually I know exactly who I can find. I know somebody who's tight with Ricochet. Super Oprah's got a crush on him. So I won't do it right this second, but let me talk to Super Oprah and find out what's going on. If, you know, if nothing pops up before then.
Well, you also got Leo Rush, who may show up too. Okay. Who is legit signed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this though. Enzo also was great because he was like, no one's going to touch me. And then what was beauty is Aria Davari tried to, you know, fillet him on TV. And Enzo was like, no.
It's an internet show. Verbal fellatio is allowed on the internet show.
Yes, but you know what I mean. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, Enzo actually had a cute line for that. What do you think I am, toast? Don't butter me up like that. You know, you're trying to kiss me up, kiss my ass. So somebody was going to have to cross this picket line at some point. You knew that.
Yeah, and it was a heel, Aria Davari. That's fine.
Right, and this is also the same Aria Davari who tweeted, and we should have talked about this. The entire cruiserweight division tweeted about Enzo,
which is probably storyline. I'm guessing
it may be storyline, but all of them were priceless. It was stuff like Aria Davari's specific tweet was, you know, me trying to buy the cruiserweight belt doesn't look so bad now, does it? Tony Nieces was, I'm going to have to count my abs harder to make this, to fix this problem.
Yeah. I just need to find, some of the other tweets. Yes.
I have a little, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'll let you go first. Cause I was going to do a segue, but.
Cause the threat on the boards was Enzo is a bozo Enzo is such a bozo and I fucking love it.
Cedric Alexander, my Twitter right now, and it's a nuclear bomb. Been to get a ton of save a Cedric, gets his time to find my cape. Drew Gulak, no. Akira Tozawa, I like Enzo.
Drew Gulak's response in Japanese. Baka?
Uh-huh. would love to. He's the exact opposite I paved the way for, TJ Perkins. I don't consider him the champ. It's vacant as I'm concerned. Noam Dar, Enzo Amore is a dafty. Pass it on.
Okay. Enzo Amore is a dafty.
Okay. Mustafa Ali, patience. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, again, this is the shit that works. Okay? This is the shit that works.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff that works. Okay? I mean, you know, you got some stuff. You know, you got some stuff. Roman is now working towards the, what is it, the Intercontinental title. Okay.
Yeah, Monday night we get...
Possibly. The title might not even be defended, because from the way they're making it look like, we're going to get a Shield reunion versus the Miztourage.
I am okay. I am 100% okay with this. You do not realize how happy I was when they dissed Roman with the Shield pose.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That was great. I was like, that's signed. That's done. It's coming. Maybe not a TLC, but probably maybe Survivor Series, Night of Champions, something like that. I don't know.
And the Shield will even take it as a handicap. Shield versus the Miztourage and Braun Strowman. And we'll find somebody else.
I was going to say the Shield versus Miztourage and Sheamus and Cesaro. There you go.
There you go. And then, you know, the Shield, if they have to have a fourth, they can borrow Matt Hardy. Because, unfortunately, Jeff is not going to be able to join us.
No, he injured his shoulder two weeks ago on Raw.
And given his style, this is the first, you know, this is the first time in a great long while. I'm not even going to count the tooth that he had knocked out. That he's had an injury bad enough to have to walk away from the ring. And a torn rotator cuff is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, he's out to WrestleMania or even past it from what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got that. We got Strowman crushing Kurt Hawkins. Poor Kurt. Oh, man.
Not just Kurt. Like, he killed Kurt, don't get me wrong. But then said, I want more better competition. So going back a step there, but then got Dean Ambrose, and which he kicked the crap out of Dean Ambrose too, which he was already bandaged up to begin with.
But Dean likes that shit. And we had a bromance moment after that where he's backstage and Seth brought him ice and it's like, yeah, thanks, compadre. And Seth's like, if you ever want to do that again, can you at least talk to me about it, please? Or at least
to wit.
Go ahead.
Yeah. To which Dean replied, dude, it's just because you're so predictable and everything, don't put that on me, okay? I don't like being predictable.
Fine, I won't be predictable. I'll fight Braun next week.
Dean's like, the fuck?
Dean's like, no kidding. I wouldn't have expected that out of your mouth. They're adorable. Aren't they adorable?
They are. And then we went from that to absolute savagery from Mickey James. Oh, my God.
Did I mention I've been a Mickey James fan for a while?
Oh, she came out and looked amazing. Like, she looked hot and she looked hot and she spit fire. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Just some brilliant stuff from her, because she's right, you know.
And she also, what was really interesting was, I love the line, I'm not going to talk to a champ who wears a training, you know, a training bra, and it's looking good for you now, isn't it? I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I was doing this while you were still in training bras, and it looks like it's still working out for you. And the look on Alexa Bliss's face, that was just meta. She's just like, they're not that small.
Hey, I didn't have mine done, did you?
So that's
I don't think Mickey's had hers done. I think hers is just from natural, from giving childbirth. Other than that,
so, but I'm just saying, but yeah, Raw had some really good stuff. They had it. This was a good show to come off the pay-per-view from. Like I said, most of it was just the fact that Enzo got murdered. Enzo got brutally and thoroughly murdered. Enzo was 31, you know. And Kurt Angle, yes, on next Monday is going to get a loophole. Probably along the lines of, it's not enforceable. Everybody touched you. Yeah. And I got two choices. I either have to cancel the order, or I'm going to have to take the belt away from you anyway after 30 days.
Mm.
Or I'm going to have to bring somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I got confused about, though. Because, like, when it first happened on Raw, I swear Enzo only said that he got an order against Neville. Like, he got a clause against Neville saying if Neville touched him, that Neville wouldn't get his rematch. And I was like, okay, fair enough. So we're getting this cowardly crap. But then all of a sudden, then it became an order that then comes to 205 Live, and he's saying, oh, no, it was an order against the whole cruiserweight division. I'm like, what?
Well,
no general manager would ever sign that. That's just stupid. It makes no sense. It's dumb.
Now, Dork Boy had enough on his plate, and then he was frustrated with Enzo, so it could get through. You can pull that off if your manager's mad enough or has too much on their plate. I get that. But I think it was specifically for Neville. I would have to go back and watch that particular interaction again. I think it might have been more just Enzo saving his ass. So
want to talk a little SmackDown?
That's where I was headed. I don't care if Owens and Zayn fight again. I really don't care. Fight forever, fellas. At least this time we had a reason. Zayn is on Shannon Mack's side. Owen dropping another truth bomb, because if a heel is right, it makes him even more heelish. You know, what have you done? I've had belts. Where's your belt? Well, I'm going to do this the right way. Yeah, how's that working for you? So hopefully, this is a signal that Sammy's going to at least have a shot at a B belt at somewhere down the line. Once Owens has finished with his temper tantrum with Shane. Jinder Mahal apologizes, not apologizes for last week. He did say, maybe last week I went a little too far. Maybe not. But now he really does have Nakamura's attention, because Nakamura was sick of his many funny faces. And that was shot so well. Shane, what did you think of this? I thought they shot it really well for the setup for showing that one of the souls was actually Nakamura standing there.
Yeah, I think they set it up really well. Can't really complain with it.
I mean, yeah, is it compelling, you know, is it compelling television? Is it as good as some of the other promos? No, but, you know, Mahal is doing damn well for being thrust into the spotlight for a place that he's supposedly not ready for. I'm sorry. He's a very good heel. People hate him for reals. I think he's doing it right. But that's just me. Was there anything else we needed to talk about on SmackDown, Jason?
Yes. Somebody finally answered Dolph Ziggler's call.
And I'm surprised it wasn't the person he imitated, although Deadman, you know, I know you can throw lightning bolts from range, so I'm surprised you just didn't zap him.
Yeah, but again, what I'm asking you is this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rumors that he's going to try and come back. Deadman, don't, please. You're done.
He won't do it. He won't do it, Jason. I don't think Mark Calloway is stupid enough to, one, risk a new hip, and two, like, I think knowing his wife, he'll be enjoying too much time spending time with his wife and his kids. So eventually he'll be like Sean and calm down and be like, yeah, okay, no, I'm not getting back in the ring.
Well, I just, there's two things that could bring him back. It's the fact that I know he can't be happy with his match with Reigns. And while, you know, deep down he would probably appreciate Ziggler doing an impersonation of him. And Dolph, if you're going to do it, walk slower.
Yes, he was running down the road. I was like, what?
Dude?
Yeah, if the height size didn't give it away, walking faster than Undertaker has ever walked in his life, yeah, that probably just made people go, yeah, that's not Undertaker, piss off.
I mean, if you're gonna do an impersonation, do a good one. I mean, your warrior was great. In deference to the man who is probably upstairs shaking something other than the ropes. I think Dolph's warrior was very good. Obviously, the size difference was going to give it away immediately, but he you want to put a frame by frame comparison. It's very good. His taker, like I said, he walked too fast. So if you're going to do this right. The conclusion of the fact that yes, the one person that is that has done all the glamour and the gaga that Dolph Ziggler is complaining about arrives. And this was something that has been built on the house show circuit that Ziggler has been fighting Bobby freaking Roode. In fact, the entrance is pretty similar to what they did at the house show, you know, given the limitations of the house show set. With all of the spotlights flashing up, so there's these giant shadows of him in that glorious pose.
And we're going to get him at Hell in the Cell against Mr. Ziggler. Now, you did also want to talk about something else. Well, a couple of things. First of all, Aiden English, you are a doofus. So are you, Rusev, by the way. With the Pride of Bulgaria celebration.
Yes. Rusev Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, okay, you know, beautiful, you know, just a great heel celebration. And props for one of those few times, another one that I'm happy that the camera work was done just so. Because you almost don't see Randy slide into the ring to RKO English.
No, I didn't see it. It was that good.
I'll admit, I didn't see it the first time. So I have no room to talk. You don't see Randy show up, and you get a bona fide RKO out of nowhere, and then he RKOs Rusev. Everybody celebrates, and then in a rare moment of charisma, Randy talks to Renee about it, although it wasn't in a formal interview situation. Oh, yeah, and happy Rusev Day.
But then we also get the Usos getting challenged by a popcorn-eating, hot dog-eating New Day for a match in Hell in a Cell. You're not happy about this.
It's not that I'm not happy. I just, you know, I'm just trying to be a little bit traditionalist when it comes to Hell in a Cell. Now, WWE has already kind of damaged the mystique of Hell in a Cell and the fact they have a dedicated pay-per-view. As somebody who came up in an era where it was more of a surprise and you'd get a rumor close to the on sale that there might be a Hell in a Cell match on the card. Bad Blood 04, SummerSlam 08. This match is a feud ender. This match is supposed to be violent. This match is supposed to be dangerous. This match is supposed to be very intense. And while the Usos are bringing that with their street thug Uso penitentiary stuff, what are we going to do with the three pink fluffy unicorns that dance on rainbows and hide microphones in their popcorn bucket?
Well, we've seen things with Xavier Woods. We know he can get his stuff rated R, but just with the other two... Oh, did everyone see where I went there?
Yes. Well, I'll just... Okay, I'll put it to you this way. The New Day can get a deeper movie rating, but not for the reasons that the Hell in a Cell exists.
Yeah, trust me.
Okay.
Yeah. How you doing, Paige?
No, but all honesty, okay, with Xavier, we've seen that these guys can get hardcore, like especially with their feud with the Wyatt family. If you remember the what was it? What they call it? Wyatt's House of Horror or some crap like that? I don't know.
I don't know how hardcore that is.
The one that they did pretty much after Final Deletion.
Oh, okay. Their thing at the compound, which was cool and scary, but you know, okay. Now let's see you do this for 20 to 25 minutes inside Hell of a Cell. There's only you know, you're not supposed to dance and twerk in a hell in the cell.
No, you're not. And by the way, according to Wikipedia, and of course, take it for what it's worth, there have been 36. Hell in a Cell matches before the two that are being for the SmackDown pay-per-view, okay?
Right.
And if you remember, last year was also the first woman's Hell in a Cell match. Yeah, but when Charlotte defeated Sasha.
Right, and, you know, I made a comment, you know, I dig the idea, but are we doing this for historical prestige? Are we doing this for the title? Or are we doing this because first...
Now we also found out, while this is not the first tag team match in a Hell in a Cell, okay, This is the first time a tag team titles will be defended in Hell in a Cell.
So, again, my question is coming up, are we doing this for history, or are we doing this because first?
Don't know. Couldn't
tell. I'm gonna say first.
First.
I really think that's it. I mean, I'm hoping that next week the Usos cut a promo about the fact that, you know, this will, you know, you guys really do want to fight us in the penitentiary, because that's as close to a real penitentiary as you're going to get. This favors the Usos. Hmm. So
especially when one of the New Day is going to be locked outside the cage.
When's that ever stopped anybody?
And also, by the way, this is going to occur 20 years almost to the day after the first one. October 5th, 1997. Shawn Michaels. Damn. Yeah. The Hell in a Cell match has been around for 20 years now.
20 years, so that would mark two decades of Hellfire and Brimstone for Kane.
Pretty much. And I've, you know, I'm proud to say that I've seen two of them in person. I've seen the old cell and I've seen the new cell.
I've seen the new cell and I saw the worst Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which was, and I'm looking at it here, Hell in a Cell 09.
So you got the one with the Punk Taker opener cell match that wasn't all that much to write home about.
Correct. And Orton Cena in Hell in a Cell.
I am so sorry. Oh my God. Only Randy freaking Orton can phone in a Hell in a Cell.
Well, again, he's doing better now, but damn.
No. He's doing better now. I'm blessed, the two that I got to see, which was Triple H Shawn Michaels from Bad Blood 04.
That's 55 minutes of brutality. Thank you very much.
Yes. Amazing brutality.
Mm-hmm.
The other was Undertaker Edge from SummerSlam 2008.
Where he sent Undertaker sent Edge to hell.
Quite literally, and it was quite awesome. And I have an amazing picture of the flames coming up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But again, here's the interesting thing: Hell in the Cells, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Since the pay-per-view, okay? Because the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. We went to the Hell in a Cell 09 was the first pay-per-view named Hell in a Cell, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I'd have to double check.
I'm looking at it here. Yeah, looks like
okay.
It. Okay. So after that, it's only been on a non Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. One in September of 11 in a dark match. WrestleMania 28, end of an era, okay? Mm-hmm. And then WrestleMania 32. Everything else was on the pay-per-view since.
Right.
So the Hell in a Cell is only brought out those times.
Which, you know, that's great, but I still don't think we need a pay-per-view dedicated to it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But what you going to do? You know?
My 999 is still going to be there regardless. But I'm just saying that I like the concept of a thematic pay-per-view, but it also, you know, it also takes away some of the mystique of those specialty matches. And I really think Hell in a Cell is one of those that the mystique is starting to be taken away. Because you mentioned this. No, this isn't the first tag match that we had in Hell in a Cell, but the last tag match, you know, the one that keeps popping up in my head is DX versus Legacy. And half of that wasn't even in the cell. So, looking at the clock, I want to make sure I have time to talk about some outside of the ring news.
Yes.
Okay. Dear Young Bucks.
Uh-oh.
You have a point that a hand gesture is probably difficult, if not impossible, to copyright. But don't poke the bear with a spork.
A spork?
That's the best comparison I've ever read. The Young Bucks have been doing kind of what TNA was doing on and off for years, and that's make fun of the WWE and toe that wonderful copyright line. And apparently they stepped over that line and WWE slapped them with a C&D about using the too sweet gesture. I don't think you can trademark that.
I don't think so either. Because...
And, go ahead.
Because, well, first of all, who used it first?
The Turkish Mafia.
Excuse me?
This has been talked about on many podcasts and everything else. Kevin Nash said that, well, obviously everyone said the click
used it first. And everyone's like, well, where'd you get that from? And Kevin Nash has been on many podcasts and said that they got it from the Turkish mafia, because that was like it's a Turkish wolf, apparently. That's the sign for a Turkish wolf that they used in the mafia, according to Kevin, anyways. And he said they just used it like to signify their group, the clique.
Where's Brian? I need Brian. I need Brian about now.
Yeah.
Well, they were just looking for an answer, and that was the first thing that popped in my head, and it actually sounded really cool, didn't it? I mean, you know, and everybody kind of believes me on that, so, you know, who knows? They might have wrote it on the Wikipedia page after I said it. Mm-hmm. But it's actually the symbol for, I believe, llama in American Sign Language.
Mm. Nash, so, in an article, by the way, because it was a 20 years ago, because it was an interview on WWE.com, Nash called it the Turkish wolf. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, he said he's calling it the Turkish wolf before anything else. So I'm guessing he did get it from somebody in Turkey.
He said X Pac's the one that brought it to his attention.
And to be honest, it's, you know, you can't copy. It's okay, you know, if you say that this is copyrightable, every metal musician is going to be suing the hell out of each other over the devil horns. And the University of Texas,
exactly. So.
Hook 'em horns. So come on. No, you can't do that. And so McDivitt might be misstepping here, although he might try to get away with this on reputation alone. But I think the message is more of, Young Bucks, go away. Stop trying to pretend that we want you.
Exactly. Exactly. What happened was is that the Young Bucks, which is they have their own internet show, which is done somewhat well, okay, show called, and I need to find, it's called, Being the Elite, okay, and that's a legit internet show, which has had some success, okay,
mm-hmm.
And they were at the WWE event, but they didn't quote-unquote invade, they were just hanging out shooting stuff for the show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it is what it is. And I think the WWE got a little pissed that the Young Bucks got a little too close. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. So I think it's more of a scare tactic just to say, go away.
You know, we've got enough elite tag teams. I mean, put it to you this way. Besides, Cody just signed with Ring of Honor exclusively, who is also a member of the Elite. And by the way, congratulations, yeah. Cody. Honestly, good on you.
Good on him, but that just answers our question, doesn't it? Is Cody Rhodes going to participate in Starrcade? No.
No.
No, he's not. But the Rock and Roll Express against the club is. Hello.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be Ricky fun.
Ricky Morton payday coming up.
Yeah, and with most of the independent stuff, those checks won't cash this time around.
Yeah, they know that money's coming.
Speaking of money, oh boy,
money
or the lack thereof, because someone got their ass sued last week. This is what we wanted to end with Flow Slam and Evolve. That thing. Yeah, because. You want to get into this?
Well, let me get my other notes, because I'm trying to find the notes, because we actually knew about. I found out about this shortly after we went off the air last week. I have a source that is close to the situation.
Ooh, okay.
Flow Slam, who I believe is part of the internet broadcasting rights for WWN and Evolve,
and Shine and Full Impact Pro. I actually have the press release, which was done just about a year ago, October 24th. Mm-hmm. They signed a five-year partnership deal to make Flow Slam the exclusive worldwide streaming partner.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened.
And that something happened because of a clause in the contract, but keep going.
No. No, what I'm just saying is that it was started November 4th. But what happened was, and I'm going to pull this up, is that, here it is. It was a lawsuit was filed September 15, 2016, against the parent company. Flow Slam basically said that WWN, which was run by Gabe Sapolsky and Sal Hamawai, provided false information that led to Flow Sports paying inflated prices for the WWN content. The lawsuit alleges that WWN negligently or otherwise misrepresented the number of fans purchasing pay-per-views and video-on-demand access to the fighting events. When pressed for the data that backed up the spreadsheet, they already claimed they had lost or deleted the information. Oh boy. And ultimately, WWN sent records listing many subscribers more than once, including purchases of DVDs instead of broadcast services. Even with that unlawful inflation of viewership, the numbers WWN attempted to account for were less than represented in its initial spreadsheet. WWN induced Flow Sports to pay it hundreds of thousands of dollars based on data that not only was inaccurate and unreliable, it was plain false, and Flow Sports is seeking over $1 million in damage, and Flow Sports have 50 days to respond. They have not responded yet. They're basically asking WWN to produce all the documentation to prove that their numbers were real.
And to that, Flow Sports may have a case. But there's also some stuff going on regarding the contracts. Is that WWM Evolve has a nice little, it has also worked a lot with WWE.
Yes, they have. They still have a working relationship, don't they?
Right. So if Flow Sports wants to keep WWM Evolve, and they don't show any interest in that, in the fact that they pulled WWN and Evolve events off their stream. Flow Sports could end up with nothing, because the contract. I believe had an out clause after X number of years. Let's see. I'm still trying to find my info on that, and I don't have it. Anyway, Flow Slam may have a point about the numbers, but numbers are an unpredictable thing when it comes to ratings. We all know this. If Flow Slam is going after, you know, whatever numbers that WWN had before the contract was signed, they might have a case. But if you're signing a deal on proposed numbers, you can't blame WWN or Evolve, because, you know, you can't go out and point guns to people's heads and make them, you know, and make them buy your product.
Can I play a little scenario for you here? Try this on for size, okay?
Okay.
Let's say, for argument's sake, the relationship between WWN, Evolve, Shine, etc., is done, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of the rumored tier WWE network prices, haven't you?
I took the survey.
Oh, did you now?
I did.
Okay.
And I brought this up last week because one of the things that surprised me was the fact that they asked you, you know, would you be interested if we had TNA and ROH content? And that took me off guard because I'm like, when the hell did you get your hands on the TNA library? Right. Which they don't, which obviously they don't have. The questions that I put the most behind was the fact that they should be rewarding loyalty customers. As a day one subscriber who has never let my thing lapse, where's my free month? Where's my free t-shirt? Where's my ticket discounts? You realize that a lot of people are getting free months out of you by recreating dummy email addresses and just not paying you. You might want to start vetting those email addresses when you start signing up subscriptions, even if when you don't, you inflate your own numbers. I guarantee you, if you went and looked up half of those, half of your email addresses, you're going to find several people that have 3 or 4 under their name.
But what I'm asking is that could you see Evolve Shine, on the network?
Easily, very easily.
And how much do you think that would be? $14.95 a month? $19.95 a month?
I don't know, because if they could up it to $14.95, but I would hope that they would be bringing in more. I would hope they would be bringing in the whole schmear if they get all of WWN, all of Evolve, all of Shine, and everybody who and FIP. They get that whole library. That's worth $5 to the right fan. Would I do it? I'm not sure. I have a little loyalty that might make me do it. But I think they would have a right to go ahead and charge a little extra. So
It's very interesting stuff.
So there's a chance, it's just a matter of seeing where it's going to go. I am going to keep my ear to the ground and see what kind of info I can get. We are going to follow the story with great interest because this is going to mean a lot when it comes to the higher end indie circuit, because Evolve and WWN is a pretty good chunk of the upper echelons of the independent scene. You don't hear about them much, but they've got some good stuff going on. They get to borrow TNA. They borrow TNA talent. They borrow talent from every which way, and they have had situations where they've had to get talent from WWE. They recently got to borrow Cedric Alexander for an independent event, for example.
And what didn't they have Triple H appear? William Regal, right? They've had it working. Yep.
They've been at those shows. I mean, I think we publicized it very greatly when there was a tweet from Triple H from backstage at an Evolve event. And his comment was, "Everything evolves." What does that tell you? He wants that library. He wants that content. And I can't say I blame him. Oh my goodness. No, I can't be tired. I still got way too much to do tonight.
Yeah, like real life, sadly.
So yeah, from here I'm going to go ahead and get everything buttoned up. So before we go, Shane, you've been really, really quiet. We're in the sell some soap section, so what do you got?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Jason, you've got just about everything, so I'll let you go ahead.
The BS Big Show this week was pretty much a special edition. Not talking about scores and stuff. We talked about the whole NFL thing, from all different angles, and it was really interesting and really fun. I'll just leave it go from there. Touch 'em all, the regular baseball season ends Sunday. I believe we're going to have a new episode this week. Pixel Nation had a new episode. WLTI will be recording a new episode in the next few days. Of course, all the good shows here, and of course the panel with Gordon Pepper and UBA. Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Google Play Music, pretty much everywhere and anywhere. So that's that. What do you got?
Actually, I do have something. If you are bored and you happen to be in Minnesota this Saturday, September 30th, please come attend the John Hirsch Slammiversary event in Cambridge, Minnesota. We'll be doing, we've got a small show going up at the Cambridge High School. Tickets are $5. 100% of the proceeds are going to Special Olympics Minnesota. Come meet our muckamuck, Tony DiNucci. And come see me work with the black belt conspiracy theorist, John Jones. So that's the main thing that I've got. But since Shane didn't say it, I'm going to put it out there. Get your hands on Supercards by 2K and Cat Daddy. It is one of the most addictive games out there, and it has a wonderful sense of humor because now the strongest card in my deck is Mojo Freaking Raleigh.
Ha! Yes, who had another problem with the high pros. Oh, speaking of WWE stuff, Shane, we've got the DLC that's been announced.
Hell yes, we finally got all full details on WWE 2K18, and it wasn't too bad. I got surprised that they've put Hardy Boys in the same pack as the Rock and Roll Express, but okay. But yeah, I can't wait for it to come out and see and finally get to play this game. It's got awesome new moves too.
Yeah, let's just very quickly, while we're at it here, because I'll make it very quick, because the DLC and the Season Pass was just announced this week, I believe. Mm-hmm. So here it is. The Season Pass... Oh, just hold on. Let me just pause the video here. Come on. Pause. Yeah, okay. The Season Pass is $30. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some will be late 17. There's going to be 5 DLC packs. Okay. First is the Accelerator Pack, which basically lets you cheat everything. Okay.
Okay.
You get all unlockable content at launch, and you can decide the overall rankings and attributes for all playable characters throughout the life of the product. So you can make Roman Reigns 100 or, unstoppable or whatever, Okay.
Okay, so yes, I already see fans out there putting John Cena and Roman Reigns at 0 so that they are jobbing on main event.
Yes, exactly, right on. Then we get the, and by the way, that's $4.99. Okay, if you don't buy it in the season pack. Next is the Enduring Icons pack, okay, which gets the Hardy Boys, Beth Phoenix, and the Rock and Roll Express. That's $10, okay?
Okay.
Next is the My Player Kickstart pack, which means you get unlock and boost My Player ratings and all clothing mayable launch that provides the boost. That's $10. Next is the New Moves pack. Which includes the Tiebreaker, the Crash Landing from Cassius Ohno, the Pump Handle Death Valley Slam by Occam, and the Swinging Sleeper Slam from Diamond's Dallas Page. That's $3.99. Finally is the NXT Generation Pack, which is Aleister Black, Drew McIntyre, Lars Sullivan, Ruby Riott, and Who Wants to Walk with Elias?
Somebody loves this man. He's going to be the SummerSlam 17 card in this weekend's RD event, although he is not the event card in particular. That's Alexa Bliss. And I'll tell you what I've seen of Elias in the ring, they have every right to push this man.
Mm. So, but yes, yeah, so that's all the content, and I believe with the season pass you get everything. But there'll probably be some more stuff added on. But the game comes out, I believe, 3 weeks from now, October 17th. And we also had a debut of a Snoop Dogg commercial for it, which was pretty good, actually.
I thought it was beautiful. I mean, I'm not a Snoop Dogg fan, but it's there's some rhymes in there that I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's that. And we'll have more stuff as it gets closer. And I don't know if Brian has pre-ordered it, but I know you have, right, Shane?
Yeah, I've pre-ordered it.
What, did you get the basic set, or were you getting any of the deluxe sets?
I got the deluxe edition, so I can get it 3 days early.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you got the Seen Enough package for the supercard.
No, I missed out, so don't go there.
And also,
that's fine.
And also the Kurt Angle pre-order bonus.
So yeah, but other than that, nope. I'm right here. And I will do my best to be here every week. I'm not always here every week, but life does that to you. So for Bad News Beeman, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week where we're going to do this all over again with new stories, new stuff, and Hell in a Cell.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.